Good morning. Hi, everyone. I love to start. We've gotten out of the habit of starting our services this way, way back in the pre-COVID days. This is how we'd start the service. And so the chimes would lead us into some silence and settling in, and it felt great to do that today. So thanks for letting me do that. My name is Brad Hewitt. My pronouns are he and him. And I am excited to be your lay leader today. It's going to be an awesome, fun day. Thanks for joining us in this beautiful place. Speaking of this beautiful place, we have a thank you that goes out to the volunteers who came out and helped clean the parking lot and the sidewalks and everything after the big storm that we had come through. So thank you. A couple other quick announcements before we step into welcoming you here into this space is that the art reception for Penny Homer, whose art's on the walls, has been moved to, because of the storm, to next Saturday, 1 to 2:30 p.m. here. You're welcome to come and meet Penny as well. And lastly, you'll see on your order of service, if you weren't already aware, that today we'll have the visioning committee presenting some findings and just talking more, and they wanted to set up an opportunity for about 15 minutes of questions. You'll have future opportunities, but be aware, while they're going through their presentation, feel free to come up with some questions, kind of jot down something if you would, or put it in your phone, whatever works, so you'll have that when it's time for the questions afterwards, and we'll do our best to get through those. So right now, I just invite you to settle in. Take a nice deep breath. We've had a busy week or two. Some of us have really gone through some struggles, and we're here. We're here in this place with the sunshine slowly peeking through the clouds, the warmth, and the collection and safety of each other. You are all welcome here and online. Regardless of how you identify yourself, what country's on your birth certificate, what gender's on your birth certificate, whether or not that matches who you are now, how you identify any spiritual beliefs, or if you have no spiritual beliefs, how you vote, how much money is in your bank account, and any other criteria we like to apply to each other to identify us. At the end of the day, we're all warm souls. We are children of the universe, and we're here together in this space. I'm grateful for you. Thank you for being here. You're very welcome. We will rise or stand as you are able. We're going to have our opening hymn, number 318 in the gray hymnal, which is kind of like a dark greenish gray. There's a really bright green and a other thing. So number 318, We Would Be One. We have the words on the screen, too.
We would be one as now we join.
Love and justice strive to make.
Thank you. Please be seated. And now, as Lucy comes up to light the chalice, I'll read the words by Jennifer Grayson, called Drawn Together, taking from our... We come together every week, bound not by a creed or a mutual... Okay. The universe is having fun with us today. It's all right. All right, Drawn Together by Jennifer Grayson. We come together every week, bound not by a creed or a mutual desire to please one God or many gods. Yet we are drawn together by a belief that how we are in the world, who we are together, matters. We light this chalice together in the knowledge that love, not fear, can change the world. If you please join me in our opening affirmation, the words should be on the screen. Beautiful. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our hearts to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love one another and our neighbors. And now Salima will lead us in an opening reading.
Our reading this morning comes from two sources. First, Merriam-Webster. You've heard of Merriam-Webster. Who defines community as a social, religious, occupational, or other group sharing common interests and perceived or perceiving itself as distinct in some respect from the larger society within which it exists. On the other hand, the spiritual teacher known as Starhawk uses these words. Community, she says, means strength. We are all longing to go home to a place we have never been. A place half remembered and only half envisioned. A place we only catch glimpses of from time to time. This is community. Somewhere, she says, there are people to whom we can speak with passion without having the words catch in our throats. Somewhere, a circle of hands will open to receive us. Eyes will light up when we enter. Voices will celebrate us whenever we come into our own power. Community means the strength that joins our strength to do the work that needs to be done. Arms to hold us when we falter, a circle of healing, a circle of friends, someplace where we can be.
We all benefit every day from many actions of others in our individual lives here at WOF. And now is a time when we can pause and say thank you. Thank you in many ways, as we discussed earlier with some of the volunteers that have been around. And thank you sometimes with our dollars. Thank you with our hugs. Thank you with our smiles. However that works out for you, we're grateful for those. If the host will please come forward to collect the offering. Thank you for your gifts today in support of this fellowship. If you'll please join me in reading our affirmation of gratitude and giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to receive, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
And now we'll have our time for all ages. If we have any children who'd like to come forward, they have a front row ready to welcome you, and Evin will read our story today.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Okay. I have instructed. Which one goes there? Okay. So, in keeping with our theme this morning about what we've gone through, discovered through our visioning process, I thought this book was very fitting. A story about how diverse people, diverse personalities, and how they balance each other when they come together. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to embrace the other, especially when that other is so different. So a fun thing I like to do with my students in class is, which one would personality would you be? So oh, fancy transition. I forgot that I did that one. Bear came along. Bear was just being curious until when he realized that the river could do. But he didn't know he was on an adventure until, here we go, now I'm up to speed. Froggy hopped on. Froggy was a lonely frog who was looking for a friend. But she didn't know how many she had until the turtles tried to warn them about the things that would go wrong, that could go wrong. The turtles showed up. But they didn't know how to enjoy the ride, everyone, until Beaver climbed aboard. Beaver was born to captain. He knew exactly where to go, but he didn't know about the detours until the raccoons dropped in. The raccoons were so excited. The raccoons were so excited about the twists and turns ahead, but they didn't know they had to be careful. They crashed into Duck. Duck was so content being right where she was. But she didn't know there was a world to see. Uh-oh. Woo! Bear held on to Froggy. Froggy held on to Turtle. Turtle held on to Beaver. Beaver held on to Raccoons. Raccoons held on to Duck. Oh, what a ride. So many different animals living their separate lives. But they didn't know they were in it together until the river came along.
So as we walk in the door today, if you come here from your day or your week or your month, you carry with you so many experiences and feelings, ideas, fears, thoughts, hopes, wonderful things to be grateful for, some things that you would rather you didn't have to deal with. Whatever that is, in this moment, we invite you to step forward, and we have rocks here. And the rocks represent for you the weight take a second, take that weight, if it's something that you hold that's heavy. Feel like you put it into the rock and let it sink into the water. For us, the symbolism is that the water, as it envelops and surrounds the rock, is this community, is this time that we all share together, that we can hold that heaviness as a group. But maybe it's something you're super happy about, you're excited, and you just want to put that into the rock. They all mix together. When we're all done, they're mixed together, just like life, with joys and sorrows. I'll have a microphone here. If, as you walk by, you want to say a few brief words about what's on your heart, you're welcome to do that. And if not, that's okay too. So the way we do this is, if you'll come up from this direction and pass by, we'll just take our time and enjoy the music. And I place one last stone for those who aren't here with us, or for those joys or sorrows that we continue to hold in our hearts. And saw a speaker here do this once, and so... I want to hold those. As people walked by, I could feel the emotion. I could feel the humanity. Thank you for those who did that. It was a real gift for me. And I hold these joys and sorrows, and we hold them together. You are not alone. Okay, it's time for our visioning committee. Super excited. I'm going to pass the baton off to John. If you'll pull up our first slide. Here you go, sir. And as a reminder, when they're finished, I'll be Phil Donahue and run around the room and answer some questions. Love to do that. It's one of my favorite parts. So I'll let you have this mic, John, and I'll take it away.
Good morning. I'm John Riles. And don't worry, I'm not heading over any waterfalls this morning. However, untils will be tolerated if you feel like chiming in here. Why do we work on defining a vision for WOOF? When done with lots of involvement from the congregation, the process of creating a vision statement will capture our sense of who we are and how we want to be as a community. But to be more than just an exercise in thoughtful reflection, the results must help us in our decision-making. We identify our vision so that we can plan and direct our efforts and resources toward doing a better job of becoming who we are and how we want to be. But why now? Our current vision and strategic plan were developed and refined during 2011 to 2018, a time before COVID, when a quarter-time minister started, and we were working on our covenant of right relations in addition to the vision and strategic plan. The pandemic years were a time when we had to come together as a community to overcome adversity. We had to support remote participation and address health concerns as our urgent priorities. Now there are many new faces and change circumstances, bringing new energy and new focus. Interestingly, but not surprisingly, the responses from our recent sessions have indicated that we continue to value the same kinds of things as were identified in the earlier vision efforts, but the specifics have changed. So that leads us to forming the vision team. And I want to acknowledge all the members of the team. Some are not here today, and some actually retired at different times during our process so far. But from the COM, we have Diane Friedman, Salima Maltzen. Would you please stand as your name is called? Thank you, Salima. Rick Tangeman, who is standing in the rear there, and Kim Transier. Board of Trustees, Yvonne Axai, Joe Boyd, who's not here today, and John Riles. Other WIF members, Barbara Hansen, Brad Hewitt, Gary Joquin, Bob MacArthur, and Cheryl Rodakowski. You see, we have a pretty diverse group. And, of course, our minister, Tracy Spengray. Next, I want to take a moment to let you go ahead and read the slide that's on the screen right now, if you haven't done so already. These really are the steps that we've gone through in our process to date. Well, what will it take to complete the vision phase? Creating and approving our vision statement is a valuable first phase in the process of producing the ends to which we aspire. The vision sharing meetings provided us with a wealth of information about what is important to WIFers. We will continue to engage you in refining the statement that will be approved by the congregation. We will organize ways for congregation members to express their views on the action themes that are most important. After the vision team creates a draft vision statement, it will be reviewed by the congregation and voted on in the annual business meeting in May, similar to the process that we have for budgeting. What comes after adopting the vision statement? The vision phase will be followed by planning how we will achieve results, followed by creating those results. For each of the themes identified in the vision phase, a shared understanding is needed of objectives, goals, what will be produced, what the outcomes will be. Some ideas from visioning may be of a scope that can be refined and changes undertaken immediately. But some things require project planning as a useful tool because of the size and complexity of the effort to be undertaken. A project team will be recruited and will create a plan which includes who is involved and their roles, what will be done, activities and outcomes, when will it be done, starting and ending, what resources are needed, people, finances, material, etc. But I want to emphasize that bringing about changes will be the result of WIF's congregants and staff working together based on our shared vision, project planning and project management, and dedicated ongoing effort to arrive at a better vision-aligned WIF community. Thank you. And now Gary Joquin will elaborate some more on the data that we have found.
For my wife, Elisa, and me, this January marks our four-year anniversary as WIF members and the beginning of our 41st year as UUs. Back in September, Rick Tangerman and Salima invited me to join the visioning team. It's been a fascinating ride, one that has stretched my analytical skills. When it became clear that we needed to engage the congregation in visioning sessions, I did what came naturally to me. I created a spreadsheet. It was a Google Sheets workbook. Its first worksheet enabled us to list and schedule meetings with WIFers who were already meeting on the board in a variety of committees and in small groups. We also scheduled four cottage meetings. The second worksheet was designed to track the responses expressed at each of the 14 meetings that we hosted. Over 400 responses in all were collected from about 80 WIF members, friends, and visitors. And here are the results. This concludes our service. Please proceed to the lower level for coffee. Please don't leave your seats just yet. This was indeed the first chart generated by our team. Brad Hewitt created it early last fall. In addition to being much-needed comic relief, the chart told us that there was a high level of complexity in the congregation's responses, and that it was going to be a challenge to meaningfully interpret this data. Reverend Tracy took an innovative first attempt at categorizing these responses using a free web application Taget. Taking one survey question at a time, she meticulously highlighted participant response keywords and phrases and associated them with categories that she created on the fly, essentially creating our first taxonomy or data classification system. Unfortunately, the application that she used did not have a visual report writing tool, so we were back to using Google Sheets, which does indeed have robust visual reporting. At our next meeting, Kim Transier shared the results of work that she did while she was supposed to be enjoying the beach at Seaside sipping wine. She read all of the responses four or five times until a series of themes emerged, expressed as categories and subcategories. At our next team meeting, Brad facilitated a whiteboard discussion in which we built upon Kim's taxonomy. Over the next few weeks, we refined it further, the final version of which Bob MacArthur will talk about in a moment. With our team's input, I duplicated our taxonomy into a worksheet, assigned categories and subcategories to each participant response, totaled responses by subcategory into more detailed bar charts like this one, and totaled responses by category until even simpler bar charts that can be more easily understood by humans emerged. All this data is posted for your review onto a wall downstairs in the coffee room. Also, the raw data and these reports will soon be available online. As much as I love data analysis, I have to acknowledge that it has its limits. Initially, we assumed that our visioning meetings would double as community building events. We encouraged members to participate in multiple meetings so they could make new friends, and from these chance encounters, new insights might emerge. Soon after we kicked off this exercise, Finance Committee members observed that attending multiple sessions would bias the survey results, for example, by enabling individuals to provide the same responses at multiple meetings. It wasn't equitable, so we abandoned this approach. We estimate that 95 participants submitted responses, of whom 81 were unique participants. This means that 8 of them attended 2 or more visioning sessions. I describe our visioning session participant counts as estimates because we chose not to video record sessions in most instances, which would make it harder to make precise head counts. Instead, we strove to protect each person's privacy so they could speak freely. We also relied upon visioning team members to serve as note takers. Of the comments that were shared at each session, it was difficult to record whether or not they were attributable to exactly one person, some attending, or all of the participants present. In summary, given these limitations, we can identify high-level themes and a variety of future projects from the data collected. To draw more specific conclusions from our data should be done with caution and will probably require follow-up survey work to verify. Now I'll pass the baton on to Bob.
So in the various visioning sessions, we asked 4 questions.
There we go.
4 questions, the first of which is, what do you gain from being part of WOOF? The second question was, what do you see in the future of WOOF? The third was, what would you like to see changed or improved? And the fourth question was, what is the purpose of WOOF in the larger community? So in our next few slides, we've gathered your responses to the 4 questions under 2 headings: what we care about, and what to change or improve. And as Gary said, we grouped responses into categories so we could spot trends and commonalities. Various aspects of community and connections were the most frequent responses of all. Almost every person cited these as important aspects of their experience at WOOF. The bulleted items on this slide show subcategories of community and connections, such as friends, sense of belonging, being part of something larger. Commons here illustrate what being in this community means. Opportunities for service to WOOF and the larger world, finding a safe place to be yourself, expanding our knowledge and spirit, practicing our values. Some of the responses to the fourth question, the purpose of WOOF, follow these same categories as well. Of course, there were many, many suggestions for change, for improvement, and in some cases, criticisms. We wanted to provide this opportunity in asking our four questions, and you freely took advantage of it. Your numerous responses require three slides. And this is not very surprising. After all, we're doing a UU survey here. Changes to the buildings and our campus and rethinking aspects of Sunday services were the most numerous suggestions for change. Accessibility and additional space were major concerns for the buildings and for the grounds. And some of the comments about the services were very pointed. Most calls for change fit into the pattern. We have some of this and want more. Like more parking. There were also a few suggestions of the we have some of this and want less, like less traditional Protestant language from the pulpit. Responses indicated interest in more opportunities for intellectual, personal, and spiritual growth, more effective communication, more transparency regarding leadership matters. We should do more to increase all aspects of diversity, you said. We need to encourage families and serve them better. We need to work on membership. A broader representation of leaders and volunteers is needed. We should do more social justice work and to serve the broader community. As John said, all of this is the beginnings of an agenda. And you'll be hearing more from the visioning team.
WOOF is such a wonderful community. We want to thank everyone who shared with us what you like, what we need to change, what you want to see in the future, and WOOF's purpose. Gary and Bob shared a lot of the data you gave us, and we also want to share with you some of your own inspiring words. What would you like to see in the future? Continued growth to support our shared values of being a loving presence in our community and the greater world. What is our purpose? Helping to connect people in an isolated world where so many are relocated from old family and friends. Nourishing our collective consciousness around great thoughts and ideas that have given the world direction in how to live in peace and harmony with each other and Earth's other inhabitants. To provide members with opportunities to test what they value or believe by engaging in meaningful service to the WOOF community and to the community at large. To be a safe and supporting place in which members are free to follow their conscience, to explore and choose what they believe and value without feeling compelled to conform. A community that intentionally inspires people to become their best self. And what do you gain from being part of WOOF? And you said, a community of like-minded people who are trying to be compassionate to all people far and near. To provide a place to walk my path, practice my values. Opportunities for activism to make a difference, to recharge my human batteries. Comfort in community, a place where I can play to my strengths and be accepted for who I am, being part of something bigger than myself. The idea of having a spiritual life in an organized way that is loving and makes me feel accepted, like belonging to a compassionate, interesting group with no pat answers, felt like coming home. Thank you.
And now as we get started, I'll pass a mic down to the members. And basically, if you'll raise your hand, I'll come around and give you this mic, and you can say your question, and whoever from the committee has time to answer. We've got, again, about 15 minutes to do this today, and then, again, more conversations, but we wanted to give that time today.
My question was, what precipitated this this visioning process? Was there something that happened, or is it more on a cycle?
Whose idea was this?
Someone lost a bet.
Oh, darn. Right.
Totally kidding.
It was a two-headed coin. Well, you know, we actually felt this about a year ago that we were coming out of the pandemic period. And there were a lot of new people and a lot of new energy that wasn't just going to be confined with how do we continue to sharpen our response to the pandemic. But here were people that wanted to grow as a community and to bring a lot of new concepts and energy to their experience here at WIF. We have a number of people who have belonged to other UU congregations before. Could I see a show of hands who have come here from other UU congregations? Whoa. Okay, thank you very much. That was even more than I thought. But that represents a challenge and an opportunity. So we really felt that this is the time to start leveraging all of that and thinking about what we can accomplish together, because there are a lot of ideas out there, and you know, we're welcoming those ideas, and we need a process beginning with vision but going through the full nine yards of getting to where we've achieved results.
Other questions?
So I appreciate all of the gathering of ideas and information, and I think that's an incredibly valuable first step. But the real work is the follow-up. And so I'm curious, you've got the ideas, you've consolidated into kind of these buckets. How do you go about deciding what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, and who's going to do it to actually fulfill what people are asking for?
Thank you very much for that question, and make sure we get her name. Because we are all a part of this. We are all a part of this. And we will all be involved together in achieving the results. We feel that we have designed a process that will get us from visioning process to actually defining projects that we can go forward with, planning those projects, and then, you know, gathering the resources that are necessary. And it's commitment and involvement of all of us in the room. Does that answer your question?
This is less than half the time that's being devoted to this project. So the big emphasis is going to be carrying it out.
Thank you, Brad. My name is Cheyenne. I've been a member for, I think, over 20 years now. And I just want to thank all the members who participated and volunteered their time for this incredible task and the work that you've done. And I reflect that various groups of people at WIF have undertaken such valuable work over the course of time. I remember at least two or three major missioning endeavors and statement of purpose and committee on ministry and a whole variety of activities that so many people have been involved in. And it's so important that those of us who are in the room now have the opportunity to be involved in setting our current vision, I think, and not just relying on what somebody did 5 or 10 or 20 years in the past to set what the vision is, and that's what we're all supposed to do. So I really see this as a truly a process is super important, as well as the the product or the final work product or something like that. And so I'm going to thank everyone who's participated so far and everybody who's going to be participating in the next steps.
Hi, I'm Maureen. This is my third visit here, and I'm really glad I found this place. But one of my things is I have mobility issues. I have a terrible time with stairs and the hill. So when I came to Wednesday's meeting, I drove down the hill and parked down there. And I'm just wondering, because I'd like to join the coffee group on Sunday. Is it okay? I'm parking currently in the handicapped. Would it be okay if I drove down the hill and parked down there?
Yeah.
Terrific. That answered it. Thank you.
Yeah, the fact that that very steep ramp is not meant to walk down. If you're strong, you can walk down it. But there's a more roundabout, more gentle ramp that's meant for walking down. That big, wide concrete ramp that goes straight down to Forest Hall is meant to drive down.
Oh, okay.
So really only one person can do it at a time, right? So you're it.
I'll add something else as well. There are a number of people that mentioned what has been in discussion here for a long time, shall we say, and that is creating and installing a lift. And in fact, when we did the entrance here, there was a space out across from the door that was specifically designed as a space that then could house a lift. As an overall process of revising the sanctuary, we may want to rethink the specifics of that, but it's definitely higher on a lot of people's mind, and as we continue to become more and more seniors, it's on the minds of more and more people.
Others? A follow-up question? Oh, one more, and then we'll come back up.
Thanks, Brad. I'm curious where the visioning committee for WOF sees our congregation moving amongst and amid the greater movement of Unitarian Universalism and what role we see ourselves playing in that movement as we look at changes in our denomination, moving toward social justice focus, moving toward a values-based tradition, and how we want to bring that into our congregation, or if we are choosing to not bring that into our congregation, and what that means for us.
Simple question.
Does anyone else want to answer that question?
Yeah, Gary Joklin, I just want to comment that there's been a group of General Assembly delegates who have been meeting with Reverend Tracy, Bob MacArthur, Mary McDaniels, and myself for the last few months to discuss at least the aspect of Article 2, values versus principles, et cetera, et cetera. There will be a service on March 2nd to begin to address that issue.
And I can also speak as part of the reason I joined the committee was because, you know, I just wanted to see what's going to bubble up from the people that are here now. So it's a really narrow focus for the committee. It really is to gather what's important to woofers at this point and to reflect that in what this place is, which is a certainly different discussion than more of a congregational decision to move forward with the broader UU principles, and how the, for those of you who are new, the national UU organization is looking at defining and adjusting how we express our values, and so that's the discussion that's being referred to here. Our committee's really narrowly focused. Okay.
Just as a point of clarification, I wasn't specifically asking about the Article 2 amendment. I was asking how do we as WOF identify and define ourselves as Unitarian Universalists amid and amongst our denomination of Unitarian Universalists.
Thanks, and please do continue to bring that perspective forward. How many people here have Second question, how many people have attended a General Assembly, which is the national...
Sorry, can I just... I do want to...
Okay.
I want to clarify that the visioning team is not the deciding factor for it to answer that. The visioning team is essentially helping to draw pull information from our congregation and relating it to UUA and Big Otter Pictures and hearing from you and then help facilitate, develop plans, develop programs or develop committees that can facilitate how we see ourselves in the broader scheme of things, a broader world. So it's not, by no means is it the visionings team who is driving this. It's we're just help facilitating, creating a place to share that information and develop programs that can support that.
Thanks. And I also would say, in the interest of time, let's try to move forward if we can and maybe continue that conversation. I certainly think that's important. Any other questions or a follow-up? All right, we've got really one more, maybe two.
One thing that was brought up at a visioning committee, and I did not bring it up, but I thought that it had a lot of merit and was not mentioned up here, was that we do have volunteer burnout here, as many organizations do. We rely incredibly on our volunteers, and if we don't compensate them, that volunteerism can really suck out their ability to continue the work they're doing. If we're going to have more and more and more programs that we are headed to make our congregation something greater and more amazing, we should probably have more discussions about how we compensate those volunteers who do the majority of the work for us, and also how we continue to entice people to help here with their volunteering, new volunteers, right? Especially those who are lower income, who want to be able to help, but it's a much larger burden on them to give time and to be able to drive out here.
And those ideas, the what's next and the other parts is exactly what we want to hear, and bring that and bring that energy, because that is that's going to be the next part that's going to bubble up and come around. We've got time for one more. Do you have anything, Gary? And then we need to close
out. I just wanted to add that I don't think that I could be paid enough money for the volunteer work that I'm doing here. I think that there are a variety of ways that we can acknowledge volunteers, and I don't mean to be trite or to dismiss what you've just commented about. We did identify in our data on the charts that you see downstairs that there is a substantial need for leadership development. There is a I might recall precisely from the last board meeting, there's work underway to begin leadership training, and just to be able to facilitate a pipeline into leadership and volunteering, and hopefully in doing so that we continue to acknowledge and reward, in quotation marks, our members.
Thank you. And that will conclude questions for today, but please follow up. Please look downstairs. We'd love to get feedback, and I'm sure the committee, there's an email that they have. You can email us, and there will be more discussions and announcements coming forward. So this is just the first step. Thanks, everyone, for your questions and attention. All right, and let's see. Now we will have our closing hymn. It's going to be Answering the Call of Love. The slides will be on the screen.
The Spirit, faith and hope, love abide. Oh, every soul is blessed and may hold the truth in our hearts is our guide. We are answering the by faith, we dare to proclaim, we are answering the call of love. to hear, denying the beauty we've found. We are answering the call of love, hands joined together as hearts beat as one. Emboldened by faith, we dare to proclaim, we are answering the call of love. A bright new day is dawning, when love will not divide. Reflections of grace in every embrace, fulfilling the vision divine. We are answering the call of love, joined together as hearts beat as one. Emboldened by faith, we dare to proclaim, we are answering the call of love.
It's been a joy to be here with you all this morning. It's been a joy to serve on the visioning team, and I heartily look forward to the continuing this process and engaging lots more of you. We will take names. So as we extinguish our chalice this morning, let us be reminded that how we are in the world and who we are together matters more than we know. And may we carry within us, as we go forward into our week, not only the flame that is community, but its light and its warmth as well. So let's stand and circle round and sing ourselves out of the sanctuary or off the screen, if you've been watching online, and then join us downstairs for coffee, conversation, for group soup and social justice conversation. Let's do it.